to another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 53, and my name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in again, and you can always connect with us at socialmediachurch.net and scroll back through the previous 52 episodes. A lot of great content, and maybe one day I'll synthesize it into a more consumable package. But my intent here is to keep the conversation flowing, and it's a conversation when you engage and you join in the conversation. Certainly I am constantly connecting with people through my travels and through my conversations and through the internet. I mean, it's a great place to connect with a lot of people around the world and even in your area just through social media. And I was invited last Monday, to a gathering of artists called The Grove. And they've been meeting monthly for an evening gathering where artists can begin to form community, those who are followers of Christ, people who can appreciate one another's crafts and understand, have that empathy of realizing just how unique of a gift and calling that they have, and often underappreciated in the marketplace and even in the church. So it was neat to connect with some of the people there, in particular a follow podcaster, Mike Sessler, and a guy named Van from South Hills Church, who knew our previous episode's guest, Andrew Hansen. And both of them are part of the Church Tech Weekly podcast, which is part of the Church Tech Arts Network. And they've been podcasting for well over, going on 3 years, over 150 episodes. I'll certainly add a link in the show notes, give them a shout out here, and hope to visit their studio and maybe produce a podcast from there, because having a conversation just about podcasting would be really interesting and engaging and valuable, I think, for us. And one of the big questions that I have is, well, what is church tech anyways? Because it's such a broad category and it has grown to encompass even social media. And I'd be curious, and I'll admit I haven't listened to all 150 episodes of theirs, but maybe they have some insights about social media. And I certainly want to glean from their experience of doing church tech from audio, lighting, video, and other categories that they cover on a regular basis. Certainly being on the margins of the church in one sense, whether it's church tech or social media or the arts, yet we're such a vital part of the body of Christ and we have such a unique impact. And sometimes we have to platform that and facilitate the conversation so that those of us that are in this part of the body of Christ can realize that we're not alone and we have much to learn. And as we're in conversation and in relationship together, we can truly form meaningful relationships and be encouraged for the marathon that the life journey has before us. And one of the other conversations I'll mention was with someone I connected through Twitter, I believe, all the way across the country in Atlanta, a guy named Van Baird. And he's developing a ministry, a company called Relationship Equity. And it's been up and running for since last November, so for about 7 months now. And we had a great conversation about engagement. It really spurred some of my thinking about how do you engage with people through social media. And we're not just talking about engagement the way people are using the term social engagement, particularly in an organizational or in a business context. Now, often how Facebook and other social media experts are using the word engagement is broadcasting interactive content in some way. So it's still providing and broadcasting compelling content, whether it's an image that has been graphically designed or a photo or a couple sound bites or even a short video. It's creating compelling content, valuable content that people are provoked to share, like, or comment. And that's the end of engagement. And during my conversation with Van, it just sparked some thoughts in my head, and I want to bounce it off of you, some different levels of engagement. Now, sure, having a broadcast of neatly created, compelling content that people want to engage with in terms of taking a social action, whether that's sharing it, liking it, or commenting on it, is good. You know, that increases someone's trust and affinity for your brand, for your organization, and in our context, for your church and ministry. And that's a great thing. I mean, just to get there is quite a significant effort requiring time and creativity and discipline and skill. Many churches and many people are not there yet with their organizations, developing compelling content that is interactive and invites engagement. And for the 0.01% or less that happens to really take off and become what's called quote unquote viral, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, being viral is not something that you can manipulate or plan for per se, but there are some things that you can do in terms of getting great practice with creating and producing compelling content that as you get good at that, you have a better shot at discovering content that would be viral beyond your wildest imagination. Now, but that's only the level one of engagement, social engagement. A couple other levels that I want to bounce off of you, share with you, see what you think. A second level of engagement is actually monitoring what people are saying about your church and providing customer service. So now when people ask a question to you on Twitter or Facebook or mentions your Twitter handle or now on Facebook uses your hashtag, if you respond to that with a 80%, 90% rate of response, then you're actually engaging people on their terms rather than on your terms. See, it's one thing to be creating compelling content for other people to engage with you, engaging with your content, but to be actually engaging on their questions and their conversations about your organization, that's a different level of engagement. And I would say that's a second level of social media engagement. And brands that are doing that, companies that are doing that well, have really raised their social media profile and have become best practices at providing customer service and interaction engagement with their audience. And I think that's a new territory for many of our church leaders to actually engage with people who want to talk back at you and engage them and grow the relationship that way. So it's no longer just centered around your church, but your church is actually connecting with people where they're at and what their questions are. And there's two more levels of social media engagement that Van and I came up with through our conversation. And we want to develop this, but not just by ourselves, but inviting you into the conversation. A third level that we thought of is targeting. So one of the things that social media and internet technologies avails to us is this concept called big data. With hundreds and thousands and millions of people using a common platform, whether that's Google or Twitter or Facebook, all of that data can be aggregated and analyzed and diced and sliced. Facebook Insights is one example. If you have a Facebook page, you can actually drill down on particular demographics to see where people are and what age they are and what their interests are. And so this big collection of data can be analyzed and give you an opportunity to target your messaging and target your interaction, target your engagement to particular slices of individuals. And actually, last week, I got an email from a company in Israel. They're developing a technology that will automatically create personalized video content with a generic message, but personalized with a person's name or personal information, like what neighborhood they might be living in or what ministry they're participating with, and cut a specific video that will be emailed or sent to them. A one-off bulk produced video blast, if you will. So there's technology that is being developed that will really take advantage and make the most of big data aggregated content and divided out by smaller groups or even individuals to target messaging for very personalized, very customized interaction. I would describe that as a third level of engagement because that is now one-on-one rather than one-to-many to the masses. In a broadcasting sense, now you're engaging one-on-one, and that's a deeper level of engagement. And fourthly, and this is the one that really excites me, is what we're calling relating. Actually building a relationship with people one-on-one. So not only are you targeting a message to have a conversation one-on-one, you as the church leader has the opportunity to engage with people on their content. Did you hear that? You have the opportunity to relate to people on their content. So if they're interested in fishing, if they're interested in biking, if they're interested in marathons, if they're interested in developing apps and software, if they're interested in writing and poetry, you as a church leader have an opportunity to use social media to engage them on their content, on their turf. And that's what you can do on people's Facebook timelines. That's what you can do by following different lists. And I suggest and recommend using lists and groups to manage different segments of your ministry through Twitter and through Facebook. Those are the two most popular platforms. And when you do that, when you're actually using social media to engage and relate with people, boy, that just brings ministry, that deepens your relationship and takes it a whole nother level of social media engagement. So that's the four levels of social media engagement we talked about: broadcasting interactively, monitoring, targeting, and relating. What do you think? I thought it was really powerful to think of these different levels so that we can begin to develop strategies and develop processes and share some best practices and skills on how do we do this in a systematic and routine fashion where it becomes new habits for us relating to people online, because we've had plenty of practice in relating with people offline, and really make the most of the tools that God has given to us in the 21st century. So I want to hear from you about how you cultivate relationships online through social media. Now, the featured guest on this episode is someone that I've known online pre-social media, when the internet was just blogging, and her name is Jan Lin, and I often refer to her as Jan underscore Lin because that's her Twitter handle. And over the years, I think it's been close to, oh boy, how long has it been? It's been at least 7 years, maybe more. No, definitely more, because I've lived here in California for over 7 years and we've connected before that. So over 7 years, we've been connecting through the blog world, and we've met each other at one of those God BlogCon conferences, which has now become the Christian Web Conference at Biola University. And we've also connected through tweet-ups more recently through social media and on Facebook. And so we wanted to catch up, just reconnect again through this podcast, get a sense of how she got into social media, what it was like as the world was changing from blogging into social media. We'll talk about her role as a communication director at Eastside Christian Church here in Orange County, California, and how social media is a part of that, how she got her senior pastor into social media, and a couple of the creative things that they do to use social media to tell the message and develop the organizational voice of Eastside Christian Church. Here's my conversation with Jan Lin. DJ Chuang here for Social Media Church. Today I'm talking with Jan Lin, who is the communication director at Eastside Christian Church. And I've known Jan for, oh, maybe close to a decade from blogging days. And so you've been online for a very long time. So what motivated you to get online so early?
You know, I was kind of an early adapter with blogging. And I think I've always been a little bit of a tech geek, to be honest. I've been interested in computers since early on, And when blogging started, I like to write, and it just seemed like a natural fit. Plus, you know, I have an opinion on just about everything, which is perfect for blogging. So, as it turns out. But yeah, and then, I have a blog called The View from Her, and it's been up and running. And you're right. Let me think. How long has that been? I can't tell you. I'll have to think about it.
We can always scroll back to the archives and see. I think my blog started in June of 1999, before it was called blogging.
Oh, gosh. No, I meant way after that. I want to say mine is 2008, maybe.
Okay.
Just guessing. Yeah.
Well, no, it must have been before that.
You think? Is that too long?
Because Twitter came along in 2006. And,
oh, you're right.
And I'm pretty sure you were
on all out.
That's all.
Now I can't remember. yes, you're right.
Well,
at least 2000.
So having used social media before Twitter and Facebook in the form of blogging, what's surprised you about social media and how it's changed and developed over the years?
Gosh, there's a lot. First, comparing it to blogging, I did really enjoy, you know, commenting, having conversations with people from all over the country or the world around whatever topic, you know, you were blogging on. And to me, social media has expedited that so much. It's made it so much simpler. Now you can have whole conversations with people anywhere around any topic. I just love that. I've met so many great people through Twitter, believe it or not. People say it's impersonal, but it's not. I've met a lot of people because of Twitter. So I think that's partly it. It's just really expedited communications among people. And on the other hand, I think it has had a little bit of detrimental effect on blogging. I don't know that for a fact. I just know so many of my friends who used to blog and people, blogs I used to follow, are no longer blogging. And I don't know whether there's a direct correlation, but I suspect that 148 characters has sort of changed our mindset a little bit about how we read and communicate. I don't know. I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a good observation, because now that we have short form communication, that's kind of easier to grab and let go of our attention quicker. So we switch tracks really rapidly. And it's kind of fed into this short attention deficit that we all seem to be afflicted with now.
Yeah. I think that's true. And then on the upside, I literally use Twitter now as a news source. If, you know, the church I'm located in is in Fullerton, California, and, you know, we heard tell there was a school that had been locked down for whatever reason. Normally now I just go straight to Twitter, because somebody's bound to be talking about it online before it even gets to the news. I think that's probably one of the most significant things about social media these days, is how much faster it is, even the news reporting. It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Sometimes the news is scooped on Twitter before any other news source gets to it. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, describe your role at Eastside Christian Church as a communication director. How much of your time is social media and other media?
Well, I can say not enough time, but to be honest, I've been here about almost 3 years. And when I started, I think there was a Facebook page. I think that was all we had. But my role here besides social media is I manage all the print communication, the website, the mobile site, all the graphics, and all the social media. So all the ways that we communicate both with the public and with our church, we come through our communications department. So that way we make sure we try to give everything that Eastside look and feel and voice, so it's consistent.
Describe what your Eastside Church voice is.
I know it's hard to quantify, but I think I would say that it's casual and warm and friendly. So it's not a formal voice. And as you probably know, when writing, people tend to write more formally than they talk. So we try to write our tweets and Facebook posts and such in the same casual voice that you would hear if you were sitting in our church service. So I think that's kind of the main point of that.
And what do you want to get across as you communicate with people, besides the approachableness of a casual voice?
Well, as a church, of course, we want to be compassionate and engaged with them and what they're looking for in a church, what they're dealing with in their life. That's been growing as we've had our engagement going up, the conversations, the comments, the interactions, which is really great to see. People are now commenting and asking us questions, asking for how do I find a roommate, or I'm having this family situation and I can get a pastor to go back and comment to them or take it offline to email. It's really, I know this is not news, but we really are enjoying just the connection we're getting with people all over the country, not even just people who actually come here to our church.
Yeah, some of your church values are coming through that as you describe that. What helps you manage all the different social media channels? Do you have a strategy or a workflow or a content schedule? Describe what that looks like in terms of managing your social media communication from week to week.
Well, if you had asked me about 3 weeks ago, I would have been terribly embarrassed to tell you I didn't have much of a plan. But we recently have a great volunteer who has stepped up, younger guy who's kind of managing all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and exploring lots of other things to sort of help keep us up. And that is great. We've set a schedule for every day. So we have, you know, every day, like, for example, Mondays, we might reflect on something from the weekend. Tuesday is a connection group sort of post. Wednesday might be a compassion post. Thursday, we start looking ahead to the next weekend. So we just sort of, and we have several other people who also post to our social media outlets. So that way we get a little bit of different variety of our church values and the weekend information too. We try not to be too much sign up for this, sign up for that. Here's where you can go to get this. It's more trying to encourage people to think about, you know, the weekend messages about this weekend. What questions do you have? How do you think that's going to affect your thinking? Or where are you at in your life right now that this might really speak to you?
So. I was going to say, maybe you didn't need a plan because you're such a veteran of social media.
Well, I need a plan just to keep it in my workflow. That's really, I mean, honestly, you really do have to plan. If you have a value to do it, I think I would say then you have to plan to do it, because it's almost worse to be out there as a presence and be non-responsive. You think that actually can reflect negatively on you. So.
Oh, that's a good point. So, and with a plan, you probably need to have some goals and metrics. So how do you know if you're successful and what's effective?
You know, to be honest, when we started, we were just kind of trying to get people engaged. And our church has been around for 50 years, so we have a lot of older people. And so it was kind of hard at the beginning trying to find that group of people who were actually interested in social media. And so it took a little while. And to be honest, we just sort of tried to get our likes up, just to get people even know our Facebook page was there, and Twitter's still a little behind that. And I think Instagram is a little further behind that, but we're doing better now connecting with, I think, new people as they come in.
Which channels do you choose to use and which ones do you not use? Because there are so many.
Yes. Right now we're focused on, of course, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I think that's all right now. We're trying to explore some other options, and we don't actually even have a YouTube channel yet, although we're looking into that. And we do post videos online using Vimeo, and then we run them through our website. We have a media player, so our videos are available there. But we're kind of still exploring those other options.
Now, I want to talk about your senior pastor a little bit. How did you persuade him to get onto social media?
You know, it's kind of funny. And actually, I'm very fortunate. But when I first approached him, word was, I was new here, that he wasn't interested. So I scheduled a appointment, sat down to talk to him. What's your opinion on social media? Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? And he was like, well, I don't think I really have time, but I see that there's a value for it in today's world. So great. We set him up a Twitter account and a public Facebook page. And I asked him if he would want me to post for him. And he said, yes, anytime. Well, I have never had to post for him once. He has posted regularly. And that's why I say I'm very fortunate. He's good at it. Like, he's naturally good at it. He is engaging and personable and considerate of other people and other churches and respectful and encouraging of other pastors. And his name is Gene Apple. I don't know, just so people know, but he's already highly networked. He came from Willow Creek and before that Central Christian in Las Vegas. So he's already highly networked. And so his social media is doing really well. And I pay very little attention other than to sort of monitor it occasionally, but he kind of manages that himself.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Just a little encouragement sometimes can just take off.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you're using social media to stay in conversation with people that are part of your church and also in your community. And once in a while, you do some creative things as well. So describe the time you put together a little timeline campaign for your 50th anniversary.
Oh, gosh. Are you thinking of the video that we did?
Well, I thought it was a timeline, or it might have been a video of a timeline.
Yes, it was both and.
Okay.
This was, let's see, a year ago. So early spring of 2012. And we were planning for our 50th anniversary, which was in May. Huge celebration, of course. People were coming back, you know, from around the country. And if you remember, at that time, Facebook was just rolling out the new homepage, the timeline, look of the Facebook page. And we got the idea to post. I think I spent every night for about 2 weeks posting pictures. Eastside was started in 1962. And so I went back, we posted pictures, tried to post them almost every year or every couple of years. And then we literally went through, took screenshots of different sections of the Facebook timeline, and I had a video editor thread those together so they scrolled. And so we literally showed a review of 50 years of Eastside history, groundbreakings and construction and so on, using what looked like the Facebook scrolling feature. So we're pretty excited about that we kind of told a 50-year-old story using a really brand new technology. That was fun.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing the backstory of how Eastside is using social media, and great chatting with you again. Any secret project you can hint at that you can share with us that you're working on right now?
A secret project. I wish there was. No, we're kind of looking ahead to fall, trying to think what we're going to do. I think the main things we're kind of exploring are we really would like to do a little bit more video stories and whatnot. That's I think a piece that we're missing, is kind of telling some of those stories of people and what's happening. We just don't have the capacity right now with people and so on. But so we're kind of exploring Vine, I think, is not that that's new, but we're sort of looking at that as a way to kind of tell some stories and maybe show people behind the scenes what happens on a Sunday morning and things like that, sort of help people feel at home. I think that's kind of what we're exploring next.
All right. Well, keep up the great work, Jan. Always great to connect with you.
Great. Thanks, DJ. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jan, for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast. So good to connect with you through new technologies again and again. Really appreciate your friendship and your great work there at Eastside Christian Church. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for links to how you can connect with Jan Lin, how you can see what Eastside Christian Church is up to, including the video that she mentioned, a creative use of a Facebook timeline. And of course, I'll link to her blog as well. And since we have a few extra minutes on this episode, I want to take a moment to describe to you what we're trying to do here at the Social Media Church. Here at the Social Media Church, we want to be producing content by having conversation. It's not just highlighting, you know, great content that people might deliver in a presentation or in a workshop or in a keynote at a conference. You know, there's lots of those events in the church world where there's a sage on the stage and hundreds of people are sitting in the audience listening to this one person talk, broadcasting his wisdom and his insights and experiences in a quality and well-produced fashion. And there's a place for that. And there's lots of great places for that. And what we want to do here is provide a place where we serve each other as guides on the side. A guide on the side. So we're in conversation with each other. Think of it as being at a round table. So I'm here sitting in front of my microphone at my desk and inviting you to join in this conversation. And we can do that through the technologies of podcasting. And as I get more feedback from you, we could even schedule a weekly roundtable where we're connecting on Google Plus Hangout on Air or something like that. That would be awesome. So that we really foster a peer-to-peer guide on the side where we're learning with each other, because we can learn from each other just as much or perhaps even more than just an expert on a stage or on a platform producing great content that is packaged in products and services. There's also tremendous learning opportunities available to us through the mediums of social media and how technology is leveling the playing field and giving all of us a voice. And there's a place for that too. And so that's the kind of ethos I'm cultivating here at Social Media Church, inviting you to join me in the conversation. Whether you want to connect with me on Twitter or Facebook or add a comment on this blog post at socialmediachurch.net or call in on our hotline. The number is 9493-543-2216. And you can even text in your comment on that same phone number because it's text enabled. So the number again is 9493-543-2216. Before I can accelerate and take the conversation level here at the Social Media Church to the next level where we're engaging in real time instead of asynchronously through podcasting where we're sending voice messages back and forth. And if we were to move towards some kind of a video chat and real-time engagement, I need to hear from you even asynchronously. So right now, we're still short on the number of ratings and reviews on the iTunes store. So go to socialmediachurch.net, click on the iTunes icon, and add a review, add a rating. And when we get those numbers up, then that'll be a good indicator that, hey, we're on the way. We've got people engaging more deeply with this content beyond just downloading. But we want to take you to the next level beyond that. So we've got a good number of subscribers, good number of downloads. Now we want to invite you to the call to action to talk back. Give us your feedback. So connect with us at socialmediachurch.net. Would love to hear from you. Let's continue the conversation between episodes and into future episodes. All right. My name is DJ Chuang. I'll wrap up this episode. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you online.